couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that my family likes to play that game where music takes us places, and this morning's anthem was no different. Where did it take you? I could see in my mind's eye the kingdom of heaven like a big carnival, and it just dawned on me that, you know, we're each traveling different roads, we're each traveling different ways and places and in different circumstances, but we all journey to the same end that will culminate in the table of God's salvation, blessing, and peace. For everyone born, there is a place at the table. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day, and pray that in these next few moments, by the power of your Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, that each of us would hear with joy what you would say to us this day. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and as I read, as always, I invite you to listen for God's word. To you, it's written. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it's now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, and an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have trusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. May God add his blessings to the hearing and to the heeding of his holy word. Amen. He was a brand new friend to all of us, but about three of us. My bride and my son was with us that night, and we were at a pool party. A guy was really excited. He'd gotten his new saltwater pool, which is really the bomb, all together, and we were over. And come to find out, this guy was a gourmet chef. And he was standing outside at the gas grill for a while, and then he would run back into the kitchen and do some stuff in there, and back and forth and back and forth he went. Well, it came time to eat, so all 12 of us gathered around this table, and I demonstrated my primary spiritual gift, the gift of wiggling the fork. And it was absolutely amazing, the meal that this guy had prepared. And after we ate, when the food drunk began to kick in, we went around and said, "So, hey, what do you do?" And, "Yeah, well, that's great. Well, what do you do?" And, "That's nice. And what do you do?" So when it got time to him, he was the very last one to share what it is that he did. We said, "So what do you do?" And he kind of raised his head a little bit and cut his eyes at me, and he said, "Well, I work for the government." I said, "Hey, that's fantastic, man. So what is it that you do?" He said, "Well, I do special projects for the government." It's pretty cool, man. I'm just, you know, "So what kind of special projects do you do?" And he looked at me with this look that said, "Don't go any farther. Don't ask me that question again." He said, "Well, as I said, I do special projects for the government." And he was so secretive. I mean, that was the end of the story. In absolute contrast to what Paul is saying to young Timothy, there's no secrecy about being an ambassador in the person of Jesus Christ. No, no, we are to be filled, as he said, holy. We're to be filled with boldness. We're to be filled with self-discipline and love as we share the gospel with everybody that we come in contact with. Paul was saying to Timothy, you are on special assignment for Jesus Christ. In saying to Timothy, Paul is saying to us through the power of the Spirit and the written word, you, brothers and sisters, you singular and plural, you are on special assignment for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was in a state of reflection. I met a couple of seniors yesterday, one a senior in high school, another senior at a local college, and it was kind of neat. He said they were at the place in their life and in their education and in their schooling where they could finally take a step back and reflect. They were beginning to see what they had seen over the last 3.5 years. They were beginning to appreciate and develop the relationships that were given them as they developed. They were beginning to see everything that they had rushed through to that point where Paul is in a period of reflection. He's in his senior year. This imprisonment is different than his first. He had the ability in the house arrest to come and go. Timothy perhaps had the ability to come and go at leisure and will. But this particular imprisonment is different. Paul has resigned himself to the fact that he will not have long to live. He's guilty of speaking the gospel and living the gospel and following Jesus. And he's in prison. He is condemned to die. Written about 66 or 67 A.D., Nero burned Rome to the ground, pyromaniac that he was, about 64 A.D., and needed a scapegoat, so he felt like he would blame it on the Christians, Paul being the leader, and imprison him as a matter of fact because of that. And so these are the last words of Paul. And why is this so important? Well, because it's always, we tend to remember first what someone says to us last. And these are the last words of Paul we have here in 2 Timothy, the second of the pastoral epistles. Remember, pastoral meaning tone and content. And Paul is saying to Timothy and therefore to us, in these last words that we remember first, we are on special assignment for the Lord Jesus Christ. In a couple of weeks, I mentioned last week that we'll be moving into a stewardship focus. Not into the stewardship program as if it has a beginning and an end. But we'll be moving into a stewardship focus, intentional, disciplined focus, remembering that stewardship is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So we'll be moving with intentionality into a stewardship focus, prayerfully looking at being related to God with our time, our talents, and our treasures, of which money is a part. And there are three words that will guide us as we begin to move into this. You know, we've been working on our vision statement over the last few weeks and months here at James Island Presbyterian Church. Not the mission statement, but the vision statement. Well, what's the difference? Well, a mission statement is kind of broad and general. A mission statement may sound something like sharing Christ with the world. Great. We do that in everything that we do. It's general. It's broad. You remember I used the example of being a McDonald's franchise? If you go to China and get a number one, you're not going to get sushi. You're going to get a Big Mac meal with the opportunity to supersize it. If you go right up here to the McDonald's on Folly Road and order a number one, you're not going to get sushi. You're going to get a number one with the opportunity to supersize it. Jesus gave us our mission in the world at the end of Matthew's gospel. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the close of the age. The mission is the same for every church. But the vision is different. The vision of the church is much more strategic and focused. So here we're taking a shot at it. This is something that we're going to be working with over the next few weeks. Here's a trial run at the vision statement for James Island Presbyterian Church. Discovering who you are in Christ, in the church, and in service to the world, discovering who you are in Christ, in the church, and in service to the world. So looking back at these last words of Paul that we remember first, there are three words that will guide us as we begin to pick apart the vision statement for James Island Presbyterian Church. Here's the first: gift. Gift. Everything we do as believers is our response to what God has first done for us in the person of Jesus. It's just good old-fashioned Reformed theology. God is the primary doer. We receive, and then we respond. The first word that Paul would have us consider is the gift word. He says, "My son in the faith." It's a tender, emotional kind of address. My dad used to do that to me, not a whole lot. When he said son, it meant something else. It had a different kind of energy towards a different end. I'm not going to charge you for that. But occasionally he would say to me, son, and it had this emotional, warm, caring, loving feeling. My son. And that's the way Paul is speaking to Timothy. My son in the faith, I constantly pray for you. The faith that you came to know, that Lois and Eunice, your mother and grandmother, nurtured in you, is continuing to bear fruit. And I remember the gift of salvation that I shared with you when I first shared the gospel and you came to Christ. My son in the faith. Remember that gift. Remember that gift when I laid my hands on you and set you apart for God's work. It's a wonderful image, isn't it? As we think about who we are in Christ, to think that each of us are uniquely gifted and all but hands have been laid upon us, and Paul is saying, remember the gift that you've been given at the moment of your salvation. Remember it and employ it. As we discover who we are in Christ, let's remember that first word that highlights our vision at James Island Presbyterian Church. That word being gift and signifying God's salvation. The second word is task. Task. We're commissioned into lives of holiness and service. And it'll be unique for each of us. No two of us are the same, thank goodness. And we're going to need every unique gift and grace that God has blessed us with in the new year of 2017. If you think about our context and the situation where we find ourselves, our unique experiences, the people that God binds together as the body of Christ here from younger to older, we're going to need in 2017 every unique gift operating at its maximum potential in the body of Christ at James Island Presbyterian Church. That's what Paul says. Fan into flame the gift that you received in the Spirit. It's like Saturday morning camping. You with me? Got any campers? Yeah. I'm up early. And it's always a big thrill and a game for me to play to be the first one out of the tent. My bride's not so thrilled with my early rising, but she has a great sense of humor and she gets over it. So I'm the first one out of the tent, and I always head back over to the campfire, and there it is. It's usually smoking just a little bit, and it's just this big pile of gray ashes. And I find me a stick after I break up my little kindling sticks, and I start poking around in those ashes. And I begin to poke around in those ashes until I find it. And then I just use that stick and knock the rest of the ashes off. And there it is, a little burning ember, maybe the size of half a golf ball. And that's what's going to start the rest of the fire. And you've done it. And there it goes. You see, the gift that was within us at the moment of our salvation, for some, we're coming out of our tent on Saturday, and it's there, but it's lying dormant. And Paul said, remember that unique gift that God has blessed you with, and don't let it lie dormant, but rather fan that gift into flame. That flame that we'll need in the new year 2017. Our unique gifts and graces bound together as the body of Christ, employed by the Spirit to be about the work that God has uniquely blessed us with. That is our task. Discovering who you are in Christ's gift, discovering who you are in the church task, and lastly, discovering who you are in service to the world. That is completion. God is at work in us and through us, bringing to completion the work that God has begun. Our workplace is in the world, isn't it? Our workplace is in the world? Yeah, only not this week. Did you watch the Clemson game last night? Did you watch the Georgia-Tennessee game? Have you ever seen a football game like that? That was absolutely amazing. But in honor of the Georgia-Tennessee game, they've canceled work tomorrow. They've canceled work the entire week. Did y'all not hear? That's absolutely, you don't go to work tomorrow. I'm absolutely kidding. You'll go to work tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and the rest of this year and the rest of your life until you can retire. And it's there in the workplace where we spend a majority of our time where we will find God working in us and through us, bringing to completion the gospel that He's begun in Christ. And Paul says, you don't have to seek persecution for that. I had two young people at the same race yesterday, one mom and one of the children themselves, tell me about how they were persecuted at school. They're not going to prison for sharing the gospel. They're not going to lose their life for sharing the gospel, but they certainly talk about the fear and danger of losing a friend because they don't do what the other children do. They don't use that kind of language. They make decisions the others don't, and they're being persecuted because of their faith. You know what I told them? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Right on. Paul had resigned himself to the fact that he was going to lose his physical life. And what's the word that comes from prison from Paul to us? A word of encouragement. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Live and speak and do what God has called you to do, knowing that He will bring to completion what He's begun in you. Here's the good news, y'all. We won't be by ourselves doing that. Marilyn just did an amazing presentation this morning that she did Wednesday night as well, along with Doug Oswald, and they were talking about the history of the church from the 1800s to the 1950s, and then from the 1950s unto today. And you know what struck me about James Island Presbyterian Church, past, present, and yet to come? Is that we've always been kind of who we are. Loving, warm, vivacious in the faith, willing to go out and to be bold and to speak and to live the gospel. It's almost like we stand on the shoulders of those who've come before us. Are you with me? And then something amazing happens. As God continues to work in us and through us, we become the shoulders upon whom others stand. It's an amazing thing to think about. And Paul says, guard that deposit that's entrusted to you as it unfolds in your life. I'm reminded this morning that, you know, we need GPS coordinates. If you've ever been in a boat, particularly around here, I didn't realize there were so many shallow places. This is free information. I'm not going to charge you for this. Shallow water grounding a boat is not good for the gel coat. I'm just sharp like that. So you really need a GPS to guide you through the water. And a vision statement is really the GPS coordinates that's going to guide us through the year 2017. How many of you went to the Morris Island Lighthouse? How many of you didn't go to the Morris Island? Isn't it crazy? After years and years and years, the lighthouse has had no light. And think of the history of guiding ships to safety. And now the light will be relit at James Island Press. The light at Morris Island Lighthouse will be on, guiding us safely to the place that God would lead us in the year 2017 and beyond. It's an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? Those three words that Paul gives us will guide us into our vision: who you are in Christ, who you are in church, and who you are in the world. Gift, task, and completion. It's a beautiful thing. The old Baptist hymn, do you remember? Do y'all ever bait your spouse? I like to do it early in the morning. I'll start humming a song, and by about 12 or 1 o'clock, it'll subliminally kick in, and she'll be humming the same thing. And I say, why are you singing that song? She said, because I heard you. So I baited her with this song that I just realized this morning was verbatim from 2 Timothy. You remember the old Baptist hymn? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to do all that I've committed unto him against that day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.